Thank you very much indeed to your pastor this morning for his words of welcome. It's lovely to be back again with you this morning. And I do know that I am among good friends here in Lurgan Baptist. It's one of those mornings where everything has started out going wrong. About 4 miles from the house, I realized I've come out my glasses. And then I turned back and I couldn't find the glasses. And I says to Tracy, well, I'm going to have to live by faith. Or try your glasses, but her glasses was like magnifiers that made me worse. And I happened to say to my brother, good friend, Alan Kirsten, I've come out of glasses, I can't find them. He says, here, try mine. So I tried his and he says, well, I've one eye better than the other. And everything was double. And then our brother, Colin Emerson, he came to the rescue of his. And so I just said to him, Colin, I'll read loud enough for you to follow the reading, even though you can't see it. And also to thank Danver for his children's talk. I'm actually in Judges 15 about the jawbone and Wednesday to our Bible class. And then when I seen the teeth, it reminded me of a dental appointment on Tuesday. But there we are. Isn't it great to be saved? It's good to know the Lord. And we are here to look to the Lord this morning for his word. Now we're turning this morning to four scriptures. And as we turn to the four scriptures this morning, I wanted you to keep in your mind the words of the Lord Jesus as spoken in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 and verse 38. Because in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, the Lord Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now I want you to keep that in your mind this morning, those words, as we read each of the four scriptures this morning. Numbers, first of all, please, chapter 16, and reading from verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar. And put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation. And make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took Moses, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now come with me, please, to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Each of these four readings this morning are from the 16th chapter of the books, Acts 16, please. Just for a short reading there. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, the well-known story, of course, of the conversion of the Philippian jailer, verse 25. And we read here, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, remember they're in prison, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Now come with me back, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and beginning to read at verse 15. And he The Lord Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, for they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And the last reading is Luke 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. We know the story. We're very familiar with the story here of a man who lived, a man who died, and a man who was buried. We're very familiar with that side of death. But we're not so too familiar with the other side of death. And in Luke chapter 16, we read that this man lifts his eyes up in hell, and he's in torment. But verse 27, he looks over to Abraham and he says, Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him that's Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Ending there, and we know that the Lord will add his blessings to the readings of his own precious truth this morning. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. The title that I want to place upon God's message this morning, and that's what we need, God's message, is, Have you a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest? Have you this morning a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest? In other words, child of God, beloved of the Lord this morning, have you a heart this morning? Have you a heart for the lost? Have you a heart this morning for the perishing? Have you a heart this morning of those people around you who have no hope, who are on their way to hell? Have you a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest? There's so many of God's people today that don't have a spiritual heart, they have the carnal heart. They don't care. They have no burden. They have no vision. And the Bible tells us today, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, during the awful, dark and tragic days of the American Civil War, there was a spiritual revival broke out among the ranks of the Confederate Army. Many of the great generals of that time were truly saved and converted. One was called Lieutenant General Leon Polk. He was known as the Fighting Bishop. After his conversion, Lieutenant General Polk, when he lifted up his eyes, he just didn't see the men around him as soldiers. He saw them as a field that was white, ready to harvest. And he was a man who had a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest because, you see, Lieutenant General Polk was a man who sought to win every soldier for Christ. During his period of time, Polk saw many of his men come to Christ during that awful time. And at every point of opportunity, not only did he lead many to Christ, but he sought to baptize them in the name of the Lord, and of the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit. He sought every soldier for Christ. On the 14th of June, 1864, he was fatally wounded by a 3-inch solid shot that almost cut his body in two. When his men found him, they found in his pocket a little booklet that he often used to win people for the Lord, which was called the Balm for the Sin-Sick Soul. It is said of Polk also that if he found a wounded enemy soldier, he sought to win him for Christ as well. A man with a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest. You know, John Knox had the same heart. He cried, "Give me Scotland or I die." Boys, we need men like that today. We think of John Wesley. He cried, "The world is my parish." This morning, as we come around God's word, the challenge, the question that comes, brother, sister, have you a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest? Tell me, have you ever had the call of God come into your heart to be involved in the harvest of souls? You say to me, "George, why did we turn to number 16? I'll tell you why. Because there in number 16, we see Moses with the inward call to his heart. The inward call, because when we come to Numbers 16, God's judgment was underway. People were dying. And friend, as the people were dying and as God's judgment was underway, listen, Moses wasn't content. He wasn't content to see the people perish. He wasn't content to see the people dying. My dear child of God today, as we live in our day, and as we live in our generation, tell me, can you see the people around you dying and perishing? Remember, dear child of God, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this is the judgment. Also, let me remind your heart today, the Lord Jesus is coming again, and he's coming soon. And tell me this, how many are we reaching today before that day comes? As the Lord tarries, death will come, people, will come to people. And if the Lord Jesus comes to the air and people are left behind, then they face the judgment. But talk about evangelism. Evangelism is not a gift for one or two. Evangelism is a commission to every believer. Every believer is commissioned to win the lost for Christ. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is commissioned. My goodness, after he saved the madman of Gadara, what did he tell him to do? He says, "Go home to thy friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion upon thee." Big question for you all this morning. When was the last time you told someone about Christ? When was the last time you handed somebody a gospel tract? When was the last time you invited somebody to a gospel meeting? When was the last time you mentioned Christ to someone? You see, I want you to notice something here about Moses this morning. I want you to notice that when the judgment began, there was a call from within his own heart to do something about it. You see, here we are this morning, and here's Moses. And Moses said unto Aaron, verse 46, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly." The call was urgent. Go quickly. You know why Moses moved quickly? I'll tell you why. Because he was afraid for the people. Oh, child of God, if there's ever a day we need to get a move of God within our own hearts this morning, it's the day in which we are living in. To be afraid for the people all around us who have no hope, who are outside of Christ, who are on the broad road to hell. Tell me this, brother. Are you afraid for people this morning? What about you, love? Are you afraid for people this morning? What about your father? What about your mother? What about your children? What about your neighbors? Are you afraid for them this morning? Oh, we can talk about the weather and we can blather about COVID, but what about Christ? What about Christ? And I want you to notice something about him here. I want you to see where he is. He stood between the dead and the living. Oh, yes. Tell me this, that's the call from within. The spiritual heart will always hear the call from within. The call from within that will make us go out. The call from within that will make us do something to see people won for Christ. Oh yes, I know this is the material harvest time. I know that. But we must remember there's a spiritual harvest. There's souls to be sought and there are souls to be won. And I want you to know tonight, this morning, as we come together, I want you to notice that when Moses done this, when that it says in verse 48, the plague was stayed. The plague was stayed. Tell me this. How many people have been saved because of you? How many people have you seen stopped on the broad road because you said a wee word, because you invited them to a meeting? You know, a number of years ago, I had a mission up on Coke for Coke Baptist Church, a tent mission. And there was a lady there, and I know she wouldn't want me to mention her name, but I remember she brought this lady to the mission, young lady. And that night I preached on the woman by the well. And I remember afterwards having a wee cup of tea. I love the wee cup of tea after a meeting. And Tony Pastor Ian Wilson was with me that night, and we're just sitting around talking, and this lady come running in. She says, "Come quick, George, come quick." We went. She says, "There's a lady here who wants to speak to you." And in fact, there was two. But one wasn't prepared to repent of sins. "Hey, dear, listen, that's all right. But don't you waste this opportunity." But the other one, she was ripe, oh, and she got down on her knees beside us. And had the joy of leading her to the Lord. And the final night of that mission, she brought her husband. And remember that night well. I remember preaching on blind Bartimaeus, the man who would have missed his chance if he hadn't done anything about it. And I remember shaking hands with the folks going out. And then friends of ours who lived in Coke, they had us down to the house for supper. And of course, we had just about to sit down. And mind you, when I'm sitting down, when there's pavlova and everything else, I'm hard to shift. But there came a knock to the door. "Is George still there? Is George still there?" "Yes." And that girl who was saved on the Tuesday night, her husband came out and got saved, and her sister. All because one person brought one person. My dear child of God, it's not up just us pastors, you know. Every one of us are involved in the harvest field. The call from within. The spiritual heart will always hear the call from within. And then I want you to look at Acts 16. A spiritual heart will not only hear the call from within, it'll hear the call from without. In Acts chapter 16, we see one of the greatest, perhaps, conversions of the Bible. Here we have, perhaps, the last and the least expected man who could ever have been saved. Here was this man, a stone-cold-faced jailer, who had no time for God, he had no time for the gospel, he had no time for nothing. But then we see God intervening, and as soon as God intervenes, then conviction sets in. But you know the lovely thing about this story is, he wasn't afraid to go to Paul and Silas. You see, Paul and Silas had an attraction. There was something about Paul and Silas that this man could go to, that this man could go with his conviction, that this man could go and pour his heart out to. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, Paul and Silas, with their praying, and Paul and Silas with their praising, in the darkest times of their life, in the night, they sang praises. I can tell you that proved that jailer, he might not want to listen to them. But they proved to him that their God was real. That their faith was real. Tell me this, child of God, this morning. When people see you and they see me and the way we live and they look upon our behavior and they look upon our attitude, tell me, are we showing them that our faith is real? Are we showing them that Christ is real to us? Are we showing them by the way we live that our salvation's real? Too many of God's people today are more busy walking with their nose in the air, holier than thou attitude. That's no way to win souls. And so there's so many believers today, they're so stuck up with themselves. Let me tell you, child of God, let me tell you this. Our lives have got to be there. We're the salt of the earth this morning. We're the light of the world. And here this morning as we see these two men in prison, oh, here they are this morning. Here they are in the prison singing in prison. And this man comes and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, I had an uncle who had no time for church. The only time he was ever in church was at a funeral or a wedding. And the faith mission used to go up round Auchinlochy, up round that part of the country, do many, many missions in orange halls and tents and portable halls. And they used to go to him and they used to say to me, "Uncle James," he told me himself, like, he says, you'll come to the mission. I says, "I'll not be going to no mission. There's four churches in the town there. What's sending you up here to preach?" And the boys would say, "Well, now, God has sent us up here to preach." My Uncle James used to say, "Well, it's funny, he sends you to brave soft spots. Why don't you just go to the Falls Road and preach? Or someone in there is." That was the hardness of the heart he had. Some of you remember in 1989, Billy Graham had a live link and a mission in England. And the different churches had different outreach teams. And there was one man came to me, Uncle James, he's now the late Bert Cooper. And he went with an invitation to me, Uncle James, and Bert himself knew the type of me uncle. And he says, they talked about everything, talked about farming, talking about milking, talking about cows, and Bert didn't know how to get the thing round. And my Uncle James says, "Bert, is there anything I can do for you?" He says, "I'll tell you what it is, James, I'm round here to give you a wee invitation to the mission in town." "Oh," he says, "what's this about now?" And Bert explained to him, the late Bert Cooper explained to him what it was about. And my Uncle James says to him, "Bert, because it's you, I'll be there." Do you know why he said, "Because it's you, I'll be there"? Let me tell you. Way back in those days, there was no silage really made. Well, there was, but this is going back years before 89. Before silage was made, my Uncle James had a field of hay down. And they come on a period of damp weather, and my Uncle James, the baler was broke, the power shaft went. And Bert Cooper was a well-saved Presbyterian, not a preacher in any one way, not a preacher. And my Uncle James had the baler up in Mills' of Bamburb to get fixed. And Bert Cooper heard that my uncle had a field of hay down. And bad weather was coming in. And without saying anything to anybody, Bert just hooked on his baler, went into the wee meadow, "Can take you till it today." And there Bert not only baled the field for him, but got the sons down and began to stoop the hay for him. And my Uncle James knew nothing about this until he landed from Mills's with his baler to get it in. And there the field of hay was baled. And Bert Cooper wouldn't take a penny. Do you know what my Uncle James said about Bert Cooper? He says, "That's the genuine article as far as Christianity is concerned." And maybe that's why a lot of people don't want to listen to us, because we're not living it. We're not living it. Here this morning, as we come to the Philippine jailer, this man, this stone-cold-faced jailer, hardened as he was, came under conviction, and he could go to Paul and Silas. And thank God, Paul and Silas had the good news for him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What does Peter say? "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Brothers and sisters, this morning, listen, there's needy people all around us today, but tell me, what are we doing about it? Oh, it's good to come to the meeting with a Bible under our arm, listen to the pastor and go out, and that's it. Child of God, if there's anybody today needs a wake up, a spiritual wake up, it's the people of God. Have you a spiritual heart this morning for the spiritual harvest, the call from within, the call from without? But look at Mark 16, the call from above, the call from above. Mark 16, take a good look at it there. Mark 16, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples. Let's take a wee look at it together now. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not be damned. I will tell you, when you have a spiritual heart, you'll hear the call from within. You'll hear the call from without. But you'll hear the call from above. You'll hear the call from above. Oh, listen to this bit. Go ye into all the world. All the world. No exclusions. All the world. That means Kilwilke. That means Achagyal. That means all, everybody. When Jesus died, he died for all mankind. Because there's no such thing as a Protestant. There's no such thing as a Catholic. There's no such thing as a Republican. There's no such thing as a Loyalist. There's no such thing as a Unionist. There's no such thing as a Nationalist in the eyes of a holy God. There's only two types of people in Ulster, and that's saved and lost. Saved and lost. And what are we doing? Go out, he says. Go ye into all the world. All the world. You know, we have to do things to win them. You know, we had a special sports night one Lord's Day evening. We had Roy Walker along to give us testimony. And we sent out invitations to all the football clubs. And I says, why just the football clubs? Let's go to the Gaelic clubs. And I had a brother in the Lord, William McKnight, him and me took an afternoon and we went round all the Gaelic clubs in and around the Kilkeel Kingdom of Mourne area. We went to the Kingdom GAA Club and we went to Attie Call GAA Club and we went to Ballymartin GAA Club. And I'll tell you this, we were treated like royalty. Treated like royalty. Went to the Kingdom Club and we got a whole tour of the club. The whole tour. And he says, we're delighted to have you along, he says. And he says, we'll advertise it surely. And I give him a handful of invitations. And one of the boys says to me, do you know anything about the game? So I say, do you know Mickey Hart? He says, I do. Well, he says, well, I'm a Tyrone man through and through. But he says, maybe you'd be safer leaving now. But wait till I tell you. I remember William John McConnell and me. Going away up into Longstone. Longstone's a very hard place. And we went, the two of us, we went up to a councillor. He used to be a councillor who had a say over the GAA club up in Longstone. He says, I want William John to see, can we get a weekend of gospel meetings in the GAA hall? And William John and me went up. And we knocked on the door. We found the man's house and come on in. And we just said to him, listen, we want to know, would it be possible if we could hold a gospel weekend up here in Abbeycaw? And we said, because I'll tell you why, there's everybody else around here has heard the good news, but I don't think we've ever heard of anybody coming up here. We'd love them up and tell the good news that there's life in the crucified Lord, that there's life in him. And he says, well, here, boys, man, I'm glad for your concern, but now I'd have to take this to the committee. And of course, between everything, they had no time for us. But listen, we sought to go anyway. We need to. At this very moment in time, we have about 250 Bibles. And maybe in another, well, maybe in the next month or so, a number of us are going to go up around the Longstone area and we're going to visit every home with the Word of God. The Lord Jesus didn't tell us to sit in and expect the unsaved to come in. He told us to go out. That's the upward call upon the spiritual heart. You know, child of God, this morning, listen. We need to get real as far as winning the spiritual harvest is concerned. Because wait till I tell you, when you look around you in the world today, I can tell you things is pointing very near to the soon return of the Lord Jesus. Then I want to finish with a call from below. Remember preaching a message in that one day, listening and learning from the lost. And I'll tell you, if you read Luke 16 over and over, there's a lot of lessons you can learn from the lost soul, you know. You know what he said? He said to Abraham, listen, will you send Lazarus to my father's house for a five brother? That's the call from below. And if there's anything today that should energize the spiritual heart of every believer, it's this call here. So many Christians alive today might not be interested in the lost soul. That's sad, isn't it? But I'll tell you, every lost soul in hell is interested in the lost soul on earth. Send Lazarus. You see, Lazarus was a man who this man knew well. And I believe Lazarus was a man that lived well. And I believe he was a man who witnessed well. I believe he was a man that sat at this man's table and looked around him and he said, sir, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And the rich man that turned around and says, be quiet. Maybe there was another day there. Wee Lazarus pipes up against her. Riches don't count in the day of wrath. Keep quiet. Maybe there's another day. The wee man looks around him again and he says, sir, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Keep quiet. You know why he said send Lazarus? Because he knew that Lazarus would be faithful. Tell me this, could he send you? Could he send you, love? Could he send you, sir? Or would he say, I wouldn't bother sending him, for he never talked to me about Christ. I wouldn't bother my head sending her. All she could talk about was fashion. Oh, child of God, tell me this. Are you concerned for the lost, or are we just playing at it? Fooling around. Having our meetings and just being happy about that. Well, if that's all we have, we're far off the mark this morning. There's a spiritual harvest. We see the vegetables out in the hall. Do you think they just appeared in? No, they didn't. Somebody had to go out. Somebody had to win them and bring them in. It's the same with the kingdom of God. Unless we go out and do something about it, they'll never be reached. How many in hell today, in hell, lifts up their heart and they could say to that Christian neighbor about that Christian neighbor, they never cared for my soul. And that'll be a sad indictment for any believer. It's too serious to ignore. And the big, big question is this morning, child of God, have you a spiritual heart for the spiritual harvest? There is indeed a harvest out there that is plenteous. And it'll be lost if we don't do anything about it. Listen to the Lord Jesus this morning. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And may you and may we all hear that call of God upon us And for whatever wee bit of life we've got left to live, let's use it in seeking the lost for Christ. And may God burn that within all of our hearts this morning. We're going to sing our final hymn. Hark, the voice of Jesus calling. Who will go and work today? Fields are ripe and harvests waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? And as we sing this hymn, I'm going to make my way down to the door to greet those who leave. I trust if you're saved this morning and you're walking in fellowship with the Lord, that you'll have the burden and the love to wait around the Lord's table with us as He commands. And anyone who must leave, I'll be down there to greet you. Thank you.